Welcome to today's episode of Watchable
with Bethy Hernandez
and Sophia Ritter.
Two cousins talk movies and TV.
Basically, if it's entertainment related, we got you covered.
Today we're discussing Devil All the Time.
All right, Bethy, so I know we both have very strong thoughts on this movie, but going into the movie, what were you expecting it to be?
Okay, I had seen the trailer on Tom Holland's Instagram because obviously I like to follow up on all things Tom Holland.
Yes.
And I watched it and I thought it was a horror movie. Just by the way the trailer was constructed, it made me feel like it was a horror movie. But I was really interested because I haven't seen Tom Holland act in something like this before. So I knew I for sure wanted to watch it, but I was just very weary about it, considering I'm not a fan of, like, horror movies.
Yeah.
But that's not what it was.
Basically the same. It's more of a suspense movie, I would say, if anything. And, yeah, I thought it was a horror movie. I didn't know a freaking thing about it when I saw the trailer, and I'm like, oh, this looks really interesting. So that was basically all the knowledge I had going in. I hadn't read the book or anything, and... yeah. But before we completely dive into The Devil All the Time, let's talk our media picks of the week.
Okay, so this, for me, this is a little interesting. I haven't had much time on my hands lately, surprisingly. But I started watching Normal People on Hulu. I was interested because I saw a TikTok about it. And in the TikTok, they were talking about how it was like, this girl goes to college in Ireland, and that seemed like something I'd be interested in. So I decided to watch, like, the first couple episodes. I think I watched 3 episodes, and I just don't like it. Like, I just stopped watching it after that. But that is, like, not, I guess it's not a pick, because it's not a suggestion, but that's just what I've been watching.
More of, like, a warning.
A pick for me, though? I haven't watched this yet, obviously, because it's tonight, but I'm going to be watching the Emmys because I'm interested in the virtual format, how that's going to go.
I am so out of touch, Bethy. I forgot it was tonight. Wow.
The Emmys, the Oscars and stuff has always been like a fun little Sunday night activity for when you're like depressed about starting school again on Monday.
So. Yeah, exactly. I haven't been as into a lot of the Emmy shows lately, so that's one of the reasons I wasn't that aware of it.
Yeah.
And you do watch a lot more, like, drama television than I do, so that makes more sense. But, yeah, that will be interesting to see the outcomes of that for sure and how they handle being virtual and how awkward it is or not.
Exactly.
All right, so my media pick of the week, I want to say that, like, I've been super busy and I haven't watched anything else, and that's why this is my media pick of the week. We haven't recorded in, like, 3 weeks. I've watched a lot of stuff. And this is just my favorite thing I've watched in the last month, and it's the Phineas and Ferb movie, Candace Against the Universe, I think it's called, on Disney Plus. It's mainly made for children, and I realize that, Bethy. But it is so freaking funny. My sister and I watched this in the middle of the night, and we were just howling with laughter. I do think they realized most of the people watching it were the people who grew up watching it, because they haven't had Phineas and Ferb in years, but... definitely lives up to the original show. It just felt like a nice little, like, nostalgic thing, because it felt like you were stepping back into the universe and was everything you wanted to be. There's a great thing with a Chickeninator if you are a fan of the show. Definitely check it out, because it really holds a candle to the original thing, if not better. So I really enjoyed it. It was hilarious.
Okay, so I have a couple questions for this.
Okay.
Because I never had cable, never watched Phineas and Ferb. Is this a new thing that came out?
Yes.
It's a new thing, and it's kind of targeted at people feeling nostalgic.
I think it is, and I'm a sucker for it. Yeah, because I didn't have cable most of my childhood either, but we got it right before Phineas and Ferb came out, so we were so into that show. So, yeah, it's brand new. Oh, I remember that. Yeah. It's really good, though. Sorry.
I'm just glad that you get that little bit of happiness with, like, the nostalgia and stuff.
You forgot what it felt like to just be watching a cartoon and just be so into it. It was just what I needed in that moment.
Sounds like a fun watch.
So now let's talk about something completely different, The Devil All the Time.
Ooh, way different from Phineas and Ferb.
It tells you this isn't necessarily our type of movie, and I think that's going to be apparent as we go through it. But before we jumped in, we did want to mention some warnings for people who are thinking about watching it, and these warnings do have a few spoilers, but I think with things like this nature, it's almost important you know that they happen if you're worried about these kind of things.
Because some of the things in the movie could be a little bit triggering and make people not want to watch it, and so we just want to let you know. And also this things we're discussing could potentially have darker topics, and we just want to give a fair warning.
This is our 36th episode of Watchable, so if you don't want to listen to this one, there is other stuff out there for you. Let Definitely. Me tell you. Check out our Frozen episode if this isn't up your alley. But anyway, so it deals with sexual assault, suicide, animal abuse, lots of murder, cancer, basically all the heavy topics. So if any of that stuff is something you don't like to enjoy in your media, well, I don't know, if you don't feel comfortable watching, maybe skip this one for now. So let's say you are fine watching this stuff, Bethy. Would you recommend this to someone to watch still?
Personally, I cannot imagine recommending this movie to someone. I didn't hate it. Like, don't get me wrong. I will go into this more later. I didn't hate it, but I don't think I know very many people who would like it. It was kind of a movie to watch if you're in the right mood for it. But for me, it was just depressing to watch, if that makes sense, like any sense. And normally I'm down to watch movies or TV shows with darker themes and that are a little bit sad sometimes. And it's just, for me, that was not the mood I was in when I watched it, and not going, like going into it, not knowing that it was going to be so like sad and like heartbreaking. Yeah, I just don't recommend that unless you're prepared for that emotional state.
You watched it, I think, one or two days before me, and you had warned me how dark it was. So I think maybe I was slightly more prepared, but a few acting performances are worth watching the movie for.
Yeah.
But I think it's a movie that you can skip, you know what I mean? If you're a fan of, some, like, Quentin Tarantino-type films, I think you'll really enjoy this movie. Both of us are not a big fan of those kind of movies, so it makes sense that we didn't like it very much, and there's other reasons that I think the film could have been a lot better. But, yeah, I kind of agree with you. I do think I just recommend it based off of the Arvin, Tom Holland's character. I think that performance was so freaking amazing. And I do like to watch some movies that are so close to being, like, amazing, but they're just not, and, like, realizing what makes them not great. But a casual film fan, I think you should skip this.
Definitely for a casual film fan. But again, if it sounds intriguing to you, like, definitely watch it. I really liked the cinematography and the acting. But, I don't know. The one thing I find really interesting about this movie is these darker themes. Like, I have watched movies with these same themes in it. But the way this movie, like, deals with those themes is very harsh and, like, gut-wrenching. It's, like, different. So I don't know. I just had to get that out there before I lost that thought. That it's somehow different from other movies that deal with the same topics.
I think part of that is they don't give you a whole lot of actor, like, characters that you're really rooting for that much. Because, like, there is a ton of characters in this movie, and most of theirs, like, only purpose is to drive home, like, that they do something really bad. And they don't really, they spend a lot of time with a whole bunch of characters, but I feel like they didn't, and I will talk about this a lot when we talk about specific characters, I feel like they didn't give us those moments to make us care about enough of the characters, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense.
So then a lot of the violence just felt, like, unnatural. It just felt brutal.
Okay, I definitely get what you're saying there.
Okay, another thing I wanted to... We will be more positive later, but right now we're tearing it apart. But anyway, another thing I want to talk about was the plot jumping around. And I... this can go well in a movie, but I think this technique just works better in books. And this is based off a book. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just one of those awkward transitions from a novel to a movie script, because I just think they jumped around too much. And I think they just should have not elaborated so much, especially on, like, the serial murder story, because they didn't develop their characters enough for me to care about them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like all I got out of that, them showing that, was to show, like, their plot in the story, but yet they spent a lot of time on them, and they didn't really give us a reason to feel connected to them. So, like, if they wanted to include all that, I feel like they should have just simplified it and then grown Arvin's character and, like, his grandparents' characters, because I think that could have been a lot more interesting.
Totally agree. I also was thinking about the serial killer's, like, whole plot in that. Mm-hmm. And thinking how it wasn't that intriguing to me when it could have been and it should have been.
Yeah.
They gave you a little bit of emotional connection to the girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know her name.
I don't know her
the
name
cop's
either.
Sister. They gave you a little bit of, like, emotional connection for that. But other than that, it seemed very, like, important to the story throughout most of the movie until the end-ish. And then...
So maybe they should have introduced them later, but...
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I also think that... I appreciate that they tried to keep the format of a book, like, how the actual book must be structured, where it jumps around like that. But it just, like you said, doesn't work.
Well, and I think the beginning was good, but I think they spent too long between, because they start out on him as, like, an 8-year-old, 9-year-old or something, and then they go back to him as a baby, and I feel like they spend way too long on that chunk.
Yeah.
And by the time they get back to that scene of him as, like, kneeling with his father, you kind of forgot and you don't care as much.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are the main things I had wrong with the movie before I wanted to actually talk about performances and characters. So anything else that's nagging you?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's something that I will be able to think of later, and then it'll be really out of context. But I think we both had the same similar opinions on what we found wrong with this movie. So
now I guess I'll be a little more positive as we move into characters, and I wanted to talk about Arvin first. Did you like Arvin's character?
I really liked his character. I thought it was really interesting, because he goes from being a really innocent boy to being a murderer, essentially. It's interesting to watch that process and also to watch his motives for becoming that person, you know?
Yeah.
Because you know that he has, like, these, like, good intentions, kind of, I don't know, his murders are either acting in self-defense or to defend his sister. I'm not saying, like, definitely do not murder people. There are other ways to solve problems.
I don't think people are going to go murder from
but
our podcast.
I think it's interesting, I don't know, that such a good person, it shows how such a, like, decent human being can turn to something like that. Extreme.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. His character was definitely the most well-developed, and because you saw him as a kid, like, witnessing all this violence and being told that that was, like, the answer and how to go about things. So every time he acted out, it broke your heart, because he was just a kid who he didn't know what to do, and he was just acting on the experiences of what he grew up with.
Yeah, acting based off what his father had done and what his father had told him to do. I think it's really interesting how it's just showing that lifestyle of violence sticks with people, and how that violence in that family kind of started all with World War II, right? And how it just continues. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because it ended on him wondering if he was going to enlist, so it was almost wearing... Because he had already repeated the process, but even more so, like, exactly. But, man, it just shows you how well that character, like, how much you felt for him, that when he murdered people, you still were rooting for him. And you normally don't root for a murderer. You definitely didn't root for any of the other murderers in this movie, so, God.
Exactly. And I don't know if you want to talk about the acting now, but that also says a lot about Tom Holland's acting in this role. Being phenomenal and being able to pull off that character so well.
I honestly, like, I know Tom Holland's a good actor, but mm-hmm. I'm surprised by how well he did in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but the thing that surprised me the most is how much I was able to separate him from other performances.
Because the performances we've both seen him in, mm-hmm. he's an innocent teenager, friendly lovable neighborhood idiot. Spider-Man, lovable idiot, and then he... somehow he did a good enough job that I can separate those two roles, you know?
And yeah, I was not gonna expecting to be able to do that. And mm-hmm. just how he held himself, his accent didn't feel out of place, which a lot of times when you see an A-list actor doing an accent, it just seems wrong and unnatural.
Okay, I kind of disagree with that. It did seem a little unnatural to me. Mm-hmm. Not so much so that I was distracting, but it was mm-hmm. a little, it took a little bit to get used to.
Yeah.
And I also felt like some of the accents in this movie seemed a little forced. I don't think they were, I don't know what the accent from that part of the country actually sounds like, and I'm sure these actors did their research, probably.
Okay, hopefully. I wanted to talk about that too.
But I don't think it was quite accurate, and I don't think Southern accents in that area are that heavy, but I could be wrong.
Because the movie starts in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
which is in the Midwest, which...
they don't have Southern accents.
They don't have accents. They talk like we do. But I guess that part of the movie, they didn't have that much of an accent. The dad kind of did, and he was from the South.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they definitely spoke a lot more broken than I feel like is realistic. I know it's rural Ohio, but someone who lives in rural Iowa, like redneck Iowa, people don't actually talk that dumb in the Midwest. Wasn't it also
take place halfway in Virginia
or South Carolina?
I don't know. I feel like I'm wrong.
Yeah, first part is in Ohio, and then when his dad dies, he moves to his grandma.
Yeah, which is somewhere more in the South.
South, yeah, that part made more sense.
But, see, I told you I'd end up bringing up more complaints later, too.
Yeah,
A little complaint about the accent, but I don't think it's any fault of the actors. I just think it could be...
No.
A stereotype, possibly, or...
Yeah.
Or maybe it really is how wherever that movie is... located is
mm-hmm.
maybe they sound like that. I don't know. I haven't really been to
I have a friend from North Carolina. She has an accent, but it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
So I have a friend
from North Carolina. She does not have an accent whatsoever. But I'm interested.
Fact check us, North Carolinians.
I'm interested in hearing maybe someone from out of the U.S. and their perspective on the accent.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times when you tell someone outside the U.S. to do a, accent, they automatically go to Southern, and it sounds a lot like that. So I'm interested to see, someone from out of the country's perspective on that.
Yeah, one of the things I was wondering, and I didn't get a chance to look it up, is if the director of this movie was from America.
Oh.
Because a lot of the things about American culture seemed a little off, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes complete sense. That would be really interesting to look up, because this whole movie is about a lot of, American Southern Christian culture, mm-hmm. kind of. And so that could definitely have a real impact on the way we see it as kind of strange.
Because it was set in the 60s, but yet they took technology out of it so much that mm-hmm. the only way you knew that was the occasional, reference to it.
Yeah.
And it felt almost like it was out of, Great Depression era more than the 60s era. It really
did. And then the costumes didn't do much to indicate the era.
Mm-mm.
But, again, since they were lower class people, the costumes, I don't know. That's a full nother thing. I'm sorry. I know we were talking about characters.
But no, you're fine. Because we go on a rabbit hole and it's still about the movie, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, Arvin, I think, is the only well-developed character in the movie. And
I agree.
Great performance. And the fact you felt for a murder is pretty amazing. Now I think we should move on to the stepsister, Eliza, but not actually Eliza.
Wait, that was her name?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I did not even write down the character names.
No, you're good.
I liked her character. Mm-hmm. I think it was interesting. I also think it was interesting how the way her mother died was kind of similar mm-hmm. to the way she died.
I had not thought of that.
Her That's mother had fallen for the pastor at the church. And then, spoiler alert, don't listen to this if you haven't seen it. He kills her as a sacrifice, basically, to God and to prove that God exists, hoping that he'll be able to resurrect her because that he's crazy.
So effed up.
Yeah, that's the point in the movie where I was like, oh, crap, this is not what I thought it was. Yeah. And then her daughter, who is an orphan by that point, she kind of falls for the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sexually abuses her. And then because of him, she kills herself. In both cases, a pastor is the reason that they died, which is really interesting.
I feel really stupid because I didn't think of that, and it seems so obvious now that you pointed out. But yeah, no, that's
not stupid.
No, that's good. Yeah, because she definitely tried to be like her mother the full movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely adds a lot more to the character that I wasn't seeing before you said that. Because basically all I have down for her in my notes is that it was decent performance, but it wasn't really outstanding.
Yeah.
And I feel like they didn't really give her an opportunity to make it that memorable.
Yeah.
Like, she was good in all her scenes, but I don't know. It wasn't really her show. And I feel like we could have benefited from maybe another scene of just her, like, giving us more information on her.
I totally agree. I felt that her character was just a little bit underdeveloped. Especially yeah. since she was kind of introduced very abruptly to the plot, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her character, and I feel like
Her character could have been amazing if it was just highlighted more.
Yeah. And I feel like if I had read the book, her character mm-hmm. would have been really interesting to me, but not so much so in yeah. the movie.
I have the Reverend next, and another case of, I think the Reverend gave a great performance. I think Robert Pattinson, it's weird mm-hmm. that he's like now a serious actor for me, but he gave a great performance.
Yeah.
They just didn't give us anything to care about him though. Like, all the time spent on him was just showing that he was a creep. They didn't give us any background on who he was. It was just, and that is fine, but why spend so much time on a character if you're not going to give us a reason to care about
him? Yes. Or like a reason to understand that character. See, like the mm-hmm. first Reverend that I don't even know his name. Like, yeah, his character even felt a little bit more developed than like the second ones.
Like, yeah, you felt like
a little, like you felt scared by him because you knew his motives and stuff. And this mm-hmm. guy, it seems like he was just, his character was there just to be that evil character. That character yeah. you dislike. And this character that disgusts you, but you don't understand enough about, I don't know. You know, you feel like, I don't know, you want to understand yeah. why he's so messed up. You're like,
I think the point we keep circling over and over again is, a villain is nothing without a motive. And
exactly.
we weren't given anything to go off of, you know? I do think, like, some of his scenes were interesting and cool, but I love his murder scene, and I know I sound messed up for saying that, but the suspense was handled really well.
It's well done.
Like, the director, he did do a really good job of handling all those type of moments, yeah. and to the point where you almost forget to breathe out parts. Like, I do think that was one of my favorite parts of the movie. Sounds so weird to say, but I think that was executed really well, but great performance, but they, no motive.
Like, yeah.
they didn't give us a motive, so I don't care.
My takeaway is great performances, great building of suspense, like, mm-hmm. good basis for characters, like, a good starting point, but just not enough development.
Yeah. And, like, the Hendersons, which are the serial murderers, it's just, I don't even feel like we need to go into them because it's the same stuff we said 20 times this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they try to give us the wife. That's what they were trying to do, and I don't think they were successful.
No.
I think her murder scene, what is wrong with me? Her murder scene, I think, is good, but it was just missing, like, I don't even think it would have taken that much to make that wife such a much better character.
I know they had, like, one scene where she was considering running away and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was almost close enough for me to feel like her character was developed. Yeah. Just not quite there.
But they didn't give us a, like, obviously she doesn't like murdering people.
Yeah.
But they didn't show us, like, her having regret, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or her, like, scared of her husband really that much. Like, they kind of alluded, like, to it.
You got the gist of it, but I totally agree. Exactly. They should have just shown more feelings of remorse from her, and then maybe I would have felt more interested in her character.
Okay. Any other characters you want to touch on? Because those are the main ones I had.
I don't think so. If I talk about more characters, we're going to keep saying the same thing. But
I think the dad was developed.
The dad was pretty well, but the mom was not. She just was there.
Weird.
Her character was just there to die, basically.
Yeah.
Like, she was just, like, pretty and sweet. And you're like, oh, sweet mother figure. Dead. And I'm like, okay, is that all she really was? Like, mm-hmm. I want to know more about, because it seemed like her and her husband had very conflicting personalities. Like, he was very mm-hmm. violent, and she seemed very, like, calming. And I mm-hmm. wonder, I kind of would wonder about how, I don't know, I guess you kind of see how that reflects on
Arvin?
Arvin, sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. This movie, I really did not, yeah.
There's too many characters, honestly.
There's too many characters. Arvin, it just, both those personalities really, like, reflected him, kind of, like, the mm-hmm. the conflict between that. But I just think it'd be interesting to see more of the mom. But again, we're saying all of this stuff, like, there should have had more of this, more of that, and I understand that movies can only be so long. It's just,
yeah, exactly.
There's better ways it could have been incorporated.
I think, honestly, they should have just cut way back on the Hendersons,
because yeah.
they didn't contribute that much to the plot in the end, and I was always expecting them to do more so.
Yeah, same.
The mom didn't particularly bug me, because at least they didn't waste as much time on her. Like, you know what I mean? It pissed me off more when they spent so much time on a character and didn't give us anything with that character.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so weird how they had, like, giant actors like Sebastian Stan not really doing anything.
I know, right?
Like, he did nothing in this movie.
Nothing.
And I think the moment of him connecting with Arvin at the end is honestly one of the best parts of the film. Yeah. And it gave the film so much more humanity. And I'm like, why didn't you? I don't know.
Like, why? It's just why. This whole movie is just why.
Why? Because, okay, that one scene of him with talking to those, like, mafia people, or, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. some gang people. What? Just cut that. That didn't give us anything with
Nothing.
His character.
That just made me want his character to die more anyways.
I know. It made me care less about the character.
Because
that movie could have, that scene could have been
That was all unnecessary. And I'm sure it happened in the book. But for the sake of a movie, no.
No.
It's not necessary.
Basically, the moral of the story with our characters was that they chose the plot in the book, like, staying true to the book, over the characters and how they worked for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we are big book people, but they're two different art forms completely.
Yeah.
And I think, because the narration, like, I don't think that was bad, because they had to do it because the story was too complicated without it.
Yeah.
But if you rely that much on narration, it's kind of drags down the story, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really did. I didn't even remember the narration because I thought it to kind of be out of place almost. I don't know.
Yeah. And well, the full time you're wondering who was narrating it. Like,
yeah.
You're almost thinking it was, like, someone involved in the story. And then at the end you're like, it's cool it was the author, but I thought it was almost like its own character.
Yeah, me too. I think it would have been more personal if it was its own character, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, let's end on a more positive note. Is there anything you liked about this movie?
I liked the cinematography. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the tones they used and, like, the colors. They really reflected the mood. And then just the depiction of small town America, I thought it was kind of interesting to watch, however accurate it might be. I thought it was really interesting. And then some of the shots I thought were pretty cool looking. And then also, obviously, the acting I thought was pretty good. And I think it was definitely an interesting story. It didn't bore, it didn't make me bored. And that's better than just not exactly, this movie not exactly being my thing. It's better that I was, like, at least interested in it. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. Because we just basically hated on this movie for a half hour.
Yeah.
But it did keep me, like, I did watch the full thing straight without really getting distracted.
Exactly.
So, that's a pretty hard thing to do, especially when you're watching it at home. So that is pretty impressive. My, I love a good ending that is kind of leaves you wondering and gives you ideas for how you think it could go.
Yeah.
And so I loved the ending with him falling asleep in the van. I just thought it really was a great way to end off Arvin's character. And it did at least have me finishing the movie on a good note, which always makes you think better of the movie as a whole.
Yeah.
And because it does have a decent ending, I think it made it a lot more likely that I would tell someone they would watch it if I knew they were into this kind of movie. If they weren't, I would not recommend this.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, how they handled suspense, really, it was, I liked it for the most part. Besides some of the violence early on felt really out of place and just too brutal. The murders themselves didn't, which is weird, but they didn't because it was handled so much. Yeah, that too. I think they kind of numb you at first.
Yeah.
But they handled it with so much suspense that it didn't seem so, like, out of context. I don't know. Like we keep saying, there are some really good performances. A couple from people you would expect to give good performances. Yeah,
exactly. Overall, some forgettable this movie,
performances.
I mean, overall, I would say it's watchable, but for certain people who want to watch it. And I know this genre is kind of maybe some people's thing, you know? And it's not quite mine. It's on the verge of being something I'd be interested in, but it's just not quite there. Sorry, for some reason I thought of this. It reminds me a lot of Twin Peaks, which has a lot of, like, murder and a little bit of supernatural stuff in it. I don't know. And it takes place in, like, small town America. Anyways.
I need to watch that.
I think you would think it's interesting, at least. But I think this movie is definitely a good watch for some people. But it's just not one of those movies that's for everyone. And it's not one of those movies we're going to say, you must go watch it now.
No, definitely
like
not.
Like we sometimes do in our episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, normally, there's some movies that if you're not a fan of suspense, I still recommend you watch, like, The Quiet Place. This one, if you like suspense, I do think you'll enjoy it. If you don't, I think you will just be a little grossed out
overall. And you might stop watching halfway through because you're just like, meh.
Exactly. Okay, so one thing I wanted to say right before we end is we have been a lot less frequent lately because we're college students who are busy, but also, think about it. We are so close to the freaking election, people. And I know we only get, like, so many listeners. But if we get a single one more person to vote out of this, I'd be happy. So
it makes a huge difference.
Oh, my gosh. So much different. Last election I voted in lost by 7 votes. Like, that is, in some cases, one. I think it was actually 5 votes. Anyway, that is, like, one family sometimes. So especially local issues, if you're passionate about things like police reform and things we talk about a lot on this podcast, you need to vote on your local issues and your Senate races and your House of Representatives. I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about this, but
it's all important. No matter what you think, it makes a difference. If everyone does it, it makes a difference.
Some places are already voting too, so
it's more important now than ever. So
exactly. All right, so next time We have no idea what we're going to do, obviously, because we never do. We might do Cobra Kai. Yes. I've recently started checking that out. I didn't talk about it for me to pick of the week yet because I want to suspend my thoughts on it. But if I get through that in a couple weeks, we'll see. We might do that.
I'm excited for you to watch it. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Yes. Hopefully, we get to talk about it because I love all things Karate Kid. And yes. Cobra Kai, I have interesting Such thoughts on. Such a guilty
pleasure.
Yeah. It's a guilty pleasure show for sure. So hopefully we talk about it.
If not next episode, I'll finish it by like November.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for listening to this episode of Watchable.
This podcast is edited by Sophia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com and our graphic is by Maria Hernandez.
If you enjoy listening, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out.
Have an idea on what we should review next? Send us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or Tumblr at Watchable Media.
Join us next time when we discuss something.
Now go enjoy your day.